So that section of scripture from Galatians 1 is our text, if you will, is more of a springboard, but I need to launch somewhere, right? Because Galatians is a wonderful section of scripture. It's six chapters that are just packed with stuff. If I could give you one assignment that I thought you'd actually do, it would be that you would read this letter of Galatians. You can do it in one sitting, one cup of coffee, all right? And read it on a daily basis for the next 5-6 days in preparation for what Pastor Dan will be teaching you throughout the summer. It's short, but it's just packed. If you have different translations, I encourage you to read different translations. It would be awesome. I use the NIV because this was a gift given to me, and so I use it. What we read today was the ESV, and that's a fine translation too. But try some different translations and just journey through this letter over this next week in preparation for what's coming this summer. I took the time to listen in on last week's sermon. How many of you were here to hear Pastor Dan's sermon last week? Okay, as a parish pastor, you have the privilege of connecting dots, you know, from week to week. And I just kind of land and preach, and I think, wow, there has to be a context, right? So I listened to his sermon. I invested 32 minutes. This is not going to last that long. Dan, if you're watching, not going to happen, all right? But he talked about identity. Remember that? And that our identity is hidden in Christ, but he was also talking about the identity of Christ in the context of the Trinity. And he's trying to get at that. But that idea of identity, and that really comes to bear in how Paul approaches his conversation with the Christians, the people of God who've gathered and who worship, live and breathe in Galatia. Galatia is a province of Asia Minor, and he had visited there with his first missionary trip and introduced many to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was writing back to them because they were being troubled. They're being troubled by some who said, you've got to do X, Y, and Z if you're going to be a good Christian. And Paul said, no, 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 no. It's not about X, Y, and Z. It's not about following a bunch of rules. It's about being who you are, and that is a child of God by grace, trusting in the mercy of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. That's all it is. And out of that comes a life filled with fruit. And it's not necessarily strawberries and blueberries and watermelon and cherries, but the fruit of the Spirit. Remember that from Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And Paul's whole point in this letter is that we live in freedom, but we don't allow our freedom to be an excuse for living any way we want. We use our freedom to respond to what God has done for us in Jesus. We use our freedom to serve people around us in the name of Jesus. So we are free. I'll put it this way. We go from a got to a get to. From a got to a get to. That's transformational. And in his writing, Paul, the apostle, shares his story. Now, many of you probably know Paul's story. He used to be called what? Saul. I just picture his father. You should be named Saul. Then later God says, no, it's going to be Paul. But Saul, and he persecuted the church. So in his effort to convince or to instruct the people in Galatia that they shouldn't be cowering under legalism, but live in the freedom that they have in Jesus, the freedom from sin, the freedom to live for God, but not cowering and thinking they can somehow earn God's salvation, in laying out his credentials, Paul basically shares with them how this gospel, this good news of Jesus, has transformed his life. And so that's what I want to try and describe for you today, is the transformed life of Paul and how God is also wanting to transform your life and mine to be people of God set apart for him. Some of you are old enough to remember Jack Kevorkian. Anybody remember Jack Kevorkian? Okay. Others of you, do you remember what you had for breakfast this morning? No. Pancakes, yeah. All right. No, Jack Kevorkian, all right. Now he's passed away, right? It would be like Jack Kevorkian, whose nickname became what? Dr. Death, because he emphasized he wanted to see legalized euthanasia, right? It would be like Jack Kevorkian suddenly being a proponent of life and compassionate care. Caring for the elderly, caring for the infirm. Seeing our lives as those that are called to care for those who cannot care for themselves. Right? That's the transformation, essentially, that happened in Paul's life. Paul says he was advancing in Judaism, far ahead of many of those of his own age. He was studying under Gamaliel, and he was advancing. And you know the story from Acts chapter 9, right? You've got that memorized, Acts chapter 9. Paul is on his way to Damascus, and he's going to catch him some Christians, right? He's going to catch him some Christians. He's gotten letters of authority from the Jewish high priest, okay, and he's going to go and catch Christians and throw them in prison. And then what? Yeah, a flash of light knocks him off his horse or his donkey or whatever he's riding on, and he's blinded. And then he's led into the city, and then he receives his sight after a brother prays over him, and he goes off and he says he goes to Arabia, and God reveals his purpose for him. I want to share with you what was, what is, and what will be in Paul's transformed life. What was is Paul, or Saul, an advancing enemy of the gospel, an advancing enemy of God's purposes and will in the Savior Jesus Christ. He's advancing against him, and he has stopped, he has halted, and his life has transformed, he's changed around. But if we can advance an enemy, can I suggest that sometimes God needs to transform, not an enemy in that overt sense, but transform apathy. Because the opposite of love is not hate. Did you know that? The opposite of love is apathy. Think about it. I mean, if you really are angry with somebody, you can only be angry with somebody that you care what they think. If you don't care what they think, you can't get angry. So the opposite of love is not hate, but it's apathy. I just don't care about you. My concern, friends, is that that's where some people are in the Christian church or who claim Christianity. They're not advancing as an enemy against the message of Christ, but they're advancing with apathy. And they say things like, I'm going to leave it up to my children with regard to the Christian faith. I'll leave it up to them. I don't want to force Christianity on. I'm sorry. Scripture is very clear about that. We're to raise up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're called to that. Or, you know, I know a neighbor's just moved in next to me, but it's not like my problem. No, we're called to neighbor them. We're called to neighbor them, to love them, to serve them, to meet them, and to have them welcome us into their lives and share Jesus if that's appropriate at the time. We're just to do that. Apathy, however, throws us against the purposes of God. No more, no less than being an outright enemy of God. And therefore, both need God's grace to be transformed. So I don't know where you are. If you're an enemy of God, okay, this stop it. If you're apathetic about your relationship with Jesus or apathetic about how whether or not other people come to faith in Christ, stop it, okay? That's the law. The grace is that God is actively reaching out to transform your life. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes and brings life. He has transformed the believer in Christ. He's transformed them from dead to alive. He's transformed them from an enemy to a friend. He's transformed them from a you know, just a lost individual to a child of God. You've been transformed. And Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, is encouraging him, live this out. Stop going back to that. Live this out. Live out the freedom you have. Live out who you are. What was doesn't work. What is what God makes. So the Apostle Paul was the same person he was, same person he was. If you read Paul's letters, this guy has an engine that just doesn't stop. I mean, I started a little campfire yesterday. I used some lighter fluid, you know, because I cheat. I didn't rub sticks together or anything. I actually put lighter fluid on the wood, and then I lit it. And I felt really good about that. Okay? I have no idea where I was going with this. But it was really good. But, oh, yeah, Paul. Yeah, there we go. So Paul is like you put gas on the thing, right? I mean, his whole life is just one flamethrower, okay? He's just, that's Paul's life. All right? He just never shuts down. Never shuts down. You read his letters, the Holy Spirit is just, but at one time, he was about killing Christians, okay? After the Damascus Road experience, after he comes to faith in Jesus Christ, is I want everybody to know Jesus. I want everyone to know the freedom that we have in Christ, okay? And so he's very upset as he writes to the Galatians because they heard about Jesus, they trusted in Jesus, and then what? They go back to their old foolishness and thinking they can earn salvation on their own, that they can somehow get right with God by their own merits, by how good they are and how awesome they are. And Paul's saying, no way! So, Paul says, I'm the same person, the same intensity. God has wired me this way, but now I have a different purpose. And God wants to transform you however you're wired. We're all wired differently. Some of you, you know, you're it's a little more laid back. I don't understand you, but I love you, okay? But God wants to use you the way you are, and His Spirit wants to transform your purpose. It's not just to get by, it's to be and live out your life in Christ. Secondly, he had the same eyes, but he had a different vision. No longer he's not looking to blame someone, he's not looking to catch someone doing something wrong, he's looking to catch someone doing the right thing and living for God. Can you imagine parents and grandparents who are looking to watch their children and try and catch them doing the right thing? That'd be cool. As opposed to what? Just correcting, right? I don't know if my wife's watching. I don't think she is. So don't tell her to check this out. But she was a teacher, and she learned that you always want to give like two affirmations before a correction. Is that a good thing? Yeah. So she affirms me, and then she affirms me again, and then I kind of go like this. Because I know what's coming, right? Affirm, whack. It's not quite like that, but she's looking to find God's grace at work, right? And then the same voice, but a different message. It's the same voice throughout Scripture, but it's a different message because it's all centered in the person of Jesus and what He's accomplished for us at the cross and the empty tomb, and what the Holy Spirit continues to reveal to us through His Word. It's a message of hope. It's a message of life. It's a message that's centered on the cross and the accomplished work of God, that it's all for you. It's all for me. It's all for your forgiveness so that you might be called children of God, that you might be transformed from enemies to friends, that you might go from death to life, that you might go from lost to found. Don't forget that, Paul says throughout Galatians. And then, not only what was, what is, but what will be. And Paul lays it out throughout his ministry. He says, you know, I'm transformed. I'm always pressing. I'm always pressing forward, but never perfect. Never perfect. And Paul says that in Philippians. He says, you know, I press on to lay hold of the goal for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me, but I'm never going to achieve all of that, but God's going to bring me home, okay? I want to get better. I'm never going to be perfect, but I want to get better. I want to serve God. And it's not a got to, it's a get to, right? He's often frustrated. Are you ever frustrated as a Christian? But just watch the news, people. Come on. I get frustrated. Often frustrated, but never hopeless. Never hopeless. What does he say in Romans chapter 5? He says, and we rejoice in our suffering. I'm going, Paul, who are you? What are you eating? You know? He says, we rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Right? Because our hope is resting in Christ. He's never arrogant, but really confident. Because his confidence is where? In Jesus. It's not in my performance. It's in Jesus' performance. It's not in my position. It's in my possession of Christ. You with me? It's all about God. And that's what Paul consistently wants to lay out again and again and again in his letter to the Galatians. So I hope you enjoy your time. And if I could challenge you to do just one thing this week, would you just read through the letter of Galatians? Maybe every day is like too much. Like, who could possibly drink a cup of coffee every day? Just saying. I mean, if you're like you're really busy, you can get it read to you on your phone, and while you drive, drinking your coffee on the way to work, or just driving around burning gas that you can't afford, you can listen to Paul's letter to the Galatians and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. So that's my challenge to you this week, is read through it once or twice or 6 or 12, 15, 30 times, so that you're ready to receive all that God has for you in the letter to the Galatians. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. We thank you for your Spirit at work through the Apostle Paul in his passionate letter to his friends, his brothers and sisters in Christ. He was so concerned about them because they're chucking out the good news of a Savior who loves them, who has set them free from sin and death and Satan and given them a new life. They were chucking it out because they were trying to get right with God in their own power, in their own goodness. And Lord, you've shown us again and again in Scripture that just doesn't work. So, Father, we ask that you confirm us in that faith and that confidence that's resting not in ourselves but in you, that you would transform us to be people of God set apart for you, serving diligently, not because we have to, but because we get to, because we've been set free. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.